Howdy, everybody out there. Welcome to the show. As you may know, we have a Kickstarter going, and there's only 1 week left in it. I'll be honest with you, this one's looking bad. We're doing everything in our power to get this thing funded. We have spent thousands of our own money on advertising, on trying to spread the word as much as possible, and sometimes things just don't work out. We do have 1 week left, though, to get $20,000. To everyone out there who has supported this, thank you so much. For real, we just can't thank you enough. To everybody out there who might be on the fence, please go take a look at it, and at the very least, share that campaign. It is imperative that we get this in front of as many eyes as possible. Now, we got to listen to a few words from our sponsors. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with a brand new episode of The Gray.
Let's do that thing where we go around the table and introduce ourselves. I'm Jace. I'm the Dungeon Master. Going around the table, starting with Alex.
Oh, I'm first. Hi, I'm Alex. I play Tobin, the tiefling monk, not a halfling, almost said halfling. I am in the wrong state of mind. That was a long time ago. I'm sorry.
And Michael.
Hey, I'm Michael, and I play Takar, the barbarian bard, with a dope ring.
And Mandy.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy, and I play Leo Argent, the human fighter who's double-fisting glaives, apparently. Ooh, got fancy.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Do that again.
No, don't do it, Mandy. Don't do it.
Do it again.
It's a dongle trap. It's a dingle-dongle trap. Don't do it.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy.
No, not the words. I don't care about words, Mandy. Do the arm motions again. Do the shake weight motion. There you go. All right.
Why?
You're like double fisting over here. Like it's just a little peanut butter jelly time motion you got going on.
It's like I imagine it's like crossed and so I'm like wee shoo shoo shoo.
Wee is a perfectly fine thing to say when, you know, doing what you're doing. Last and certainly not least, Karen.
Hi.
We? You want to say we?
No, I'm good. I'm Karen, and I play Delphine, the elven cleric, and I have a Swiss army mace, basically. Oh my god. Let's just stop.
Yeah, everyone sounds like they're doing great. This is going to be fantastic. Okay. Last time.
I time traveled. I have no idea where I went.
I think I had a stroke. Oh my god.
I think Michael's the only one with clear presence of mind.
He was so classy.
Yeah.
Mine was clear.
Oh, it was so clear. I got the message.
Yeah, he was over here talking about double fisting not slaves, you know.
Do you know what? It is so easy to get a rise out of Mandy that I take every opportunity to do so. Because,
wow.
It's
I feel like you should, though, because she, like, baits you a lot.
I do not. Do I? Nah. I'm innocent.
Nah, she offers us, like, healthy.
It's not my fault. You got your mind in the gutter, and you're thinking of phallic things, and I'm thinking, I got two weapons that are cool.
Preach.
Yes.
You know, you might be right. I think the only logical thing to do is to snip that clip, put it on Discord, and see what everyone else thinks.
Oh, God.
Like, completely apropos of nothing. I'm not even going to post text. Like, I'm just going to throw it out there and see what people say.
He's going to make it into an NFT if those are still a thing.
I own the rights to Mandy Double Fistin, is what... All right, guys, let's keep it clean. Jesus. Okay.
This is a family podcast.
It is. It is the 21st of Rangway. This month has not been kind to you. I'm going to set some stuff up for you guys. After the... Well, I don't want to call it an accident. It was very much intentional, but what happened on the docks happened. They are obviously in a state of dishevelment, disrepair. people are working round the clock to get things back to normal. And remember, we jumped ahead 1 week. So while these weapons were being worked on, you guys have to lay low because the entire incident was blamed on you. And thanks to your friends, who do have a slightly higher social standing than you do in town, they were quick to jump on that and spread that rumor as far as they could.
Oh, wait, not our friend. I'm being
facetious. Sarcastic. Yes, yeah, not, yeah, yeah. Not your friends.
Damn.
Your assailants. So we have a lot of ground to cover here, but mostly what I'd like to do first is I'd like to ask you guys, what's your headspace? Like, you're laying low, you're getting food brought to you, you can't go out and about in town, or at least that's the perceived, like, the heat's still high, right? So what's everyone thinking? You've had time to talk to each other, you've had time to plan, you've had a full week of just sitting here and stewing, basically. So start with Delphine. Like, what's... Yeah, no, you're the boss. We gotta. So what the hell? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, I think that she would definitely take a lot of this downtime to send communications and like kind of see where things are at with like business wise and like what they still have versus like what they had going on. So like obviously trying to get some communication to their business partners in the Lion Folk and see where that stands, because if the shop is closed down, we're not making any more weapons, which means we can't make our next delivery, right?
Well, he's done making the stuff he wanted to make, so
right, but that was like a whole week of no.
Well, yes, he's a creative type. The mood struck him, so you know, you can't reason with those people.
Right, exactly. Probably get a letter after her dad to be like, hey, some bad stuff happened. just to kind of keep him updated. I don't think she would like put anything in there about like how bad it actually is.
So you're just alluding to it? You're just like,
there's a list of a situation that's going on, and this is where we're at, and what do you want us to do here? and then, I don't know, kind of see where everyone else in the group is at, because, like, the last time we kind of talked, she gave like the main group an out, but there's still a couple others that she hasn't. So like talk to them, see if they like want to, you know, part ways. Cause I know that like the reputation is not great, but also we're like in a weird land. So like they might not want to, I don't know, like just kind of see where everyone's at headspace wise.
What about everyone else? What about Tobin?
Tobin is, I would say at this point, he's not going to leave. You know, it's a good gig. He enjoys working with Tuck. Plus, he made a promise to help Tuck find his master / mentor figure. But obviously, they have, you know, they gotta do the work. And Delphine's been a pretty good boss compared to what he's worked on before, so he's not going anywhere. And Lee scares the shit out of him, and he's definitely terrified of leaving this team and having her come hunt him down. So he would obviously not want to leave, but he would want to keep his ear to the ground, or if there's a way to do this, find a way to tell, take the temperature of the underworld in Westport. Because, you know, him and Tuck were becoming kind of rising figures in the fighting scene. Even if they weren't winning all the time, they were there, you know, they were consistently going.
Yeah.
So if there's some way for him to hear what the underworld has to say about them, about the group collectively and the boat incident, he would try and do that without leaving, because I know we're trying to keep a low profile.
I'll come back to you on that one.
Okay.
Tuck. What's Tuck thinking?
So he's at one side loving the ring idea and thinking about how powerful he could be. On the other side, his confidence has been shattered like his leg was. So you'll probably catch him working out way more than he's ever worked out on the boat. In fact, he took his size and power for granted, and so he's like trying to get stronger and even questioning if he should. So he's got a lot of like confidence issues right now. Also, because he's not allowed to go anywhere, you know that, well, actually it's like COVID, right? Like if you're not allowed to go anywhere, you then want to go somewhere. So because he's not allowed to, he's like, well, why can't I? I just want to go get food. I just want to go down to the shop, go get myself some food and come back. Like, what's wrong with that? And so then, you know, he'll then, and then it'll be like, this is because I screwed up on, because I wasn't strong enough. Or like, he'll just turn it in and just be like, very moody, almost like teenager, almost sounds like, geez, grow up, dude. But
not a phase, mom.
But yeah, so he's definitely lack confidence, but then like trying to make up for like working out extra, probably annoying everybody with that too, because I don't know, where are we hiding, I guess is the good question.
I pictured it as you're hiding in the shop.
Oh my God. Everyone loves that.
Yeah, we're like in like a two back rooms put together, and it's just like no room. There's like crates, and then like 35% of those rooms is Tuck lifting weights, which are crates attached to each other.
Thump. It's,
I mean, I imagine there's like a storage area. Like they've got to have, you know, they're pretty successful, and they make lots of stuff. So I imagine there's a pretty decent storage area, at least for materials. So I did want to come back to a certain thing just before we get to Lee. Actually, Lee, how you feel?
I think, so like for the past week, the first couple of days she's spent being busy. She's like, okay, we got to get all our crew members that are still alive. Got to get them patched up, you know, as best we can. Cheapest we can, which is free, so just, you know, put a band-aid on it, whatever, and making them like giving them a place to go, and also telling them, all right, stay out of the way. If you can Roland and Wealth use you guys, you know, to lift things. Any of you have any experience in other thing, go be useful. And just trying to keep busy, because she is brooding on the inside, and she's like really kind of stewing. And as the days goes on, she finally will just go up to Delphine and just kind of sit down, you know, just go, okay, boss. What happened was pretty bad, but I'm not going anywhere. I know this business, you know, is important to you, and it was important to me because this was my last chance to provide for my family. But those fuckers, they took it. And I know you want to keep going with this business, but also know that I need to get back at them. They did this to us. They took my opportunity from me, from us. And I didn't give a fucking one single shit about this war. But now I do. And I don't know what we're going to do from now on, but we should lean into that. We should make them pay. And she's just pissed and just like, you know, I'll find a way to make this work, but we're just, know I'll be here, and also we're gonna get a little bit of revenge. Smidgen.
I don't know why, but you remember when OJ got out of prison and like he started a Twitter, and like one of the first things he says was like, I got some getting even to do. That's what kept looping in my head, and I don't know why. You guys are far more justified than OJ.
Why is we OJ?
Just that, you know. Favorite OJ news is like, this past week, OJ sent a tweet out, I'm scared to go to Los Angeles. And I was like, no, we're scared of you coming to Los Angeles.
Just avoid Brentwood. You should be fine. Like, just...
I love that area. There's, like, really nice movie theater there.
There is.
So, at a certain point, Roland is going to start to pack a bag kind of aggressively, like quickly. Like he's racing around the shop and he's, you know, just putting, and it looks like he's getting prepped for like a good, I don't know, maybe a week long journey.
What you doing there?
He's gonna stop and kind of take a breath. Have a seat. We need to talk.
God, this is where he breaks up with me.
Oh no.
You know that I, more than anything, want to see these disgusting bastards brought to justice. I want to see you slap their throats. He has a bit of an accent, so.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what did he just say?
Wait, what do you want me to do to their throats? If Delphine looks at him, he's gonna, like, he does a thing where he goes back over, like, his sentence to slight, sleet, slit.
Oh, God.
The point is, I want to see them pay. But I don't think we're in a position to go running in. I know some people to the north that maybe will help us. They owe me a favor. It is a bit of a journey, though. 2, maybe 3 days.
Okay, do you want us to come with you? Like, you're not gonna go by yourself, right?
I would love for you to come. However, and please don't be upset. I have made arrangements for you and your team. We'll have some visitors soon. You remember the Lion Folk you spoke to before?
Mm-hmm.
I asked them if they could come into the city, come to the shop, and speak with you again. I told them you'd be more malleable, open to suggestions. If you could meet them halfway, I think that they could offer some assistance. Would Delphine have a look of disapproval?
I think she's more concerned than anything, right? Because, like, Bron's kind of going off right now, and I guess she's just worried that he's just not thinking and he might get himself hurt. Like, even though his intentions are good and the things that he's doing would benefit us, he's just going a little crazy right now. And she's a little concerned.
Do you voice any of that to him? Do you...
Yes. I think she would say, like, because all of that is, like, good stuff. I think she would say something like, I would still feel better if you didn't go by yourself. Could we hire somebody to go with you?
Well.
Ray and the boys are around.
I could put off the journey until after your meeting, if you wish. The people I want to speak to aren't exactly welcome in town. They have broken many laws. There is a woman named Kitty. She and her men have
essentially been banned. They live in the hills to the north, though, and they have been known to provide certain... How should I say this? They do terrible things for money.
What was her name again?
Kitty.
Gross.
Wow! Judgy.
And her sister Glitter.
I think we're being a little too judgmental here, guys. Okay, we don't have a lot of friends. Let's just not... All right.
I would love if he went to all the trouble of going up north, bringing her back. This is Kitty. Gross. Like, it's just like instantly burn that bridge. just...
I guess it would depend on how Kitty and Roland react towards each other. It's fine.
Is that important right now? Like, you know?
You know what? Jason? Anyways. I mean, we want to get everything, we want to get all our ducks in a row as quick as possible, right? Like, I mean, Roland's a big boy. So like, if he thinks he's going to be fine, then I should trust him and he's going to be fine. Right?
That's, guys? That's sounds like sound reasoning to me.
I mean, I guess, has he made this trip before?
Yeah, once or twice. Like, he would tell you, like, I think he'd give you a bit of an info dump about, you know, it's been like 3 or 4 years since they really have been in town. They'll make, like, little clandestine visits and stuff like that for supplies, but, like, they're not welcome here as a group. But at the same time, you guys aren't welcome here as a group right now, so, you know, glass houses.
Yeah, I think Delphine would be like, all right, well, you know, they owe you a favor, and if you know the way and you think it's going to be okay, then you should do it, and we'll deal with the lion folk while they're here. But, like, she's not an ex-girlfriend, right? Like,
do you ask him that?
No.
Okay.
You know who would have been able to figure that out? Jonas.
I'll just ask Wolf when he's gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Point.
I'll be back as soon as I can. I know time is of the essence. Do you have a plan of attack, or are you just waiting to see who's on your side?
I feel like we definitely want to see where we stand with the lion folk, and we can probably make a plan from there. And then if your friends are willing to help us out too, that'd be even better.
If you find yourself in a position where you have to take off, just leave a note here and I'll try to catch up.
You're so sweet.
The lion folk should be here tomorrow morning. I trust you can get everything ready by then.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need you to... I need the first roll of the night, guys. Here's what we're going to do. Each of you are going to roll a d6. And then we're going to add those numbers up and multiply it by 10. And that is the percentage that he has completed your order for the lion folk. Does that sound fair?
Nothing sounds fair.
Yeah. Sure.
Take my wand.
I mean, it's not going to be good either way, because even if we all roll sixes,
then...
Oh, yeah. That'd be even more. Just kidding. LOL. I know how to do math.
You do my taxes, Karen. Holy shit.
Whoa. I have pregnancy brain, okay?
Look, just tell me how long I have to be in prison. That's all. That's all. That's all I'm asking. Like, just...
I'm watching a lot of Sopranos lately. I don't think you have to go to prison if you get the right...
No, order. You don't. Debtor's prison is... pretty much non-existent now. They'll just put a boot on your neck for the rest of your life.
Oh, shit. Okay.
They, yeah. Anyway.
They'll directly take money from your pay source.
They sure will.
I cringe every time I think of 32%.
So, we're hoping for high rolls. This is so fair.
As long as you guys don't beef two or three rolls in a row, you're great, honestly. So I'm going to start with Karen. Let's go. Give me D6.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Six. Even if each of, well, actually, if each of you roll ones, you can't do it. But that's the only situation. Michael, give me D6, please.
All right, here we go. Just get it out of the way now. Ooh.
Hey, that's not a one. Not a one.
Hey, it's double better than Amvin.
All Mandy and Alex need to do is roll a one. So
yeah. So here's the thing, though.
See, I can do math.
If you get a certain percentage above, what I'm going to do is have a bit of a pot sweetener in there for a bargaining chip.
Yes.
Mandy, can I get a D6, please?
Boom. Please be sorry. Ah, motherfucker.
Well, you're up to 90%. Okay. If you get up to 130%, then you get that pot sweetener. So, Alex, it's all on you. Can I get a D6, please? You're looking, I mean, anything you roll is fine. But four or higher? Ooh,
how
baby.
About
five. So, I picture, like, partway through the conversation, like, if you have to go, you know, and he's like holding both your hands. Come with me. I have something to show you. Bring the team.
Okay. I mean, I guess everyone's like right around because we're in this small shop. So yeah.
I'm just watching Tuck lift weights. Like, yeah, you got it.
So you're gonna hear things shifting as he has these large boxes, like he's just pulling, just kind of like pushing stuff out of the way to get to this tarp-covered object. And it's rather sizable. Like it almost looks like the size of like a wagon, something like that. Like it's pretty sizable. And it looks like it's kind of dusty, like it's been back here for quite a while. I've been sitting on this for a while, and originally I designed it as a could I make something like this, but I think we may need it now. Maybe you can give it to the lion folk if they agree to help us. And he's going to pull this tarp off, and there is this bronze cannon. Like, it's definitely in the shape of a cannon. And it flares out into this dragon's head. At the base of it, like, it's attached to a wagon. And he's going to climb up and lift this. There's this, like, you know how smokers have curved lids? It's almost like that in the back, but it locks down. And he's going to pull back this piece of wood, and there's these big, heavy glass jars. Essentially, there are different types of ammunition. These are spells distilled into chemical form. This has never been tested, but theoretically, this should work. Maximum range should be somewhere around 500 to 600 yards.
This guy ever go to like Umin Euro, like this stuff that he's creating?
You're kind of getting the sense that it's like, okay, where the fuck are you from? Because like you're not like you definitely were not born a blacksmith. So like who are you? Like
also like he's got to have some like power to create these things too.
Oh, the magic?
Yeah.
Unless he's got someone to do it for him.
Huh? He's never used any magic in front of you that you know of.
I think we will point at the ammunition and say, how do we get more of this? Just all these things.
That's the tricky part. There are three types of ammunition, and I made six of each. Making any more would be a costly, time-consuming process.
Could you get more? Could you hire people to do more?
To double the ammunition, it would be about a month's worth of work. I guarantee you this will do a proper amount of devastation.
And he's going to kind of walk around here, and there's a lid for, like, the wagon has these little think of them like glove compartments almost, but they're big, you know.
It's advised that two people load these canisters in. This one is just fire. Will light an entire area on fire. This one, the blue liquid, this is potent, how do you say? It will make any wildlife grow out of control. It strangle vines, things of that nature. The last one, I suggest you not use unless you absolutely, positively need it. That one's locked, but I will give you a key just in case.
We definitely need more of this. How much should we sell it for?
The kids, Rye, will take it.
I'm sure they would.
I wish you all the best. I'm sure you're going to work things out. You have much more incentive this time. From what I know, they are stubborn, but reasonable. At the end of the day, you all want the same thing now.
And he's kind of like arching his eyebrows, like, right? Like.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lean in and kiss you on the cheek.
So cute.
Again, it should be 2-3 days, and then I'll be on my way back.
Okay.
And he's going to get ready and take his leave and get out of your hair. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you guys a few minutes before we advance time and deal with these lion folk to talk about strategy.
Yeah.
How do you want to handle this situation? Because you're going to be dealing with the same folks, I'll tell you that. You're going to be dealing with Brigand and probably Kella.
I'm not talking, obviously. I never talk to them, so...
Maybe that's what we need! We need some persuasion checks from
you
Tobin.
You want that -2 from Tobin for persuasion checks? Because that's not his bag. His bag in this game, my bag in this game, is punching people with my hands.
I feel like we should just be, like, really straight with them, though. Like, I think if we're just, like, to the point, like, fuck these fucking Gisarai, this shit happened, like, I feel like they'll be a lot more receptive than they were before.
Sure,
and well, I feel like...
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking we've done our business perfectly up to this point. I mean, we still have the weapons for them. We gave them the weapons last time. We have weapons again this time. They have nothing to complain about except for the fact that we're not very happy in Westport anymore. And we just say, we want to continue. Keep giving us money. We keep giving you weapons. Also, where do you want us to attack? We can get weapons direct.
Yeah.
Not true.
Throw an elite squad of targeted strategy as a bonus.
Yeah, because like, I mean, they tried to run us out so that we couldn't do business with them, but we were loyal to our customer.
Yes, so.
That's a good sales pitch.
We are honestly all. It's like they have nothing to complain about it too much. I mean, it might be a little harder to get things to them. We'll just say, okay, guys, we might have to have a bit more, like, you know, security getting the weapons to you, or you come get them. But bonus cannon. Bonus us.
Is that cannon? Is that cannon for us to give away or for us to use?
Do whatever you want with it. That's essentially how it was pitched. It's like, hey, I have this. Can you make some use out of it, basically?
Damn. Mm-hmm.
So what do we want to get from the lion folk? Money. Yeah. Because we have weapons for them.
How much do we have to pay for these weapons?
Wait, what?
Like, you know, the weapons from Rowan and Wolf. We had to probably pay for that. And then
Yeah. You're still making a profit. Like, you're, yeah. You know, because...
Because the lion folk are paying 1.5 times the market value of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming we just paying the market value.
Yeah.
But you're kind of getting them for cost, which is not something that usually happens. This is kind of like, you know, like you're getting your foot in the door and sleeping with one of the owners. And you know what I mean? There's some...
girlfriend discount? Thanks very much.
Yeah, so that's not... That's probably not going to be able to happen every time and then live. So, like, so in the second book, you're going to try to pay everybody a living wage. And that's what you...
So we'll have to figure out how much profit we get on that. But, you know, basically, continue.
Got our eyes on a boat and we need that deposit.
Oh, my God.
I miss Curtis.
Go ahead. Tuck's going to ask, like, hey... Do we need to think of anything to make sure that we can be out and about without issue? Or do we need to be thinking about a base outside of the city so we can leave this hut? I mean, wonderful place.
Not happy, huh?
Lifts.
I just envision Tuck like barely fitting in this storage room.
Yeah, just like
tall, like it's low clearance. I feel like I'm not sure if that's what it really is, but it just in my head, it's just like this.
I mean, there are parts that are spacious and stuff. Like the actual smithing area would be more open, just because heat rises and like it's.
Yeah, but would they want him there? You know,
fuck no. Here's the thing. Okay, do you know? If you have a friend over for a couple of days, right, 2-3 days, it's all good. Everyone's fine, you know, like your routine is going to be interrupted no matter what, you know, no matter how big your place is, just because it's different. After a week and more, it starts like, it's like, could you not, could you just not do that? Like, just like and Welf wasn't your friend to begin with. I'm going to be honest. Like, he's just a guy. Like, he's trying to... It's like, oh, cool, you moved into the shop. That's nice. Like, it's, you know, he's not super happy about it.
Oh, and then like... the shop got shut down, so he had nothing to do with his spare time.
I feel like everything that Tuck has, like, accidentally broke or, like, curved, be like, oh, I could lift this or I could do this, and then it goes like... And then... he'll like at first time they're like whatever, and then finally just like you're going to fix that, right? Like, and so he has to end up using like that mending cantrip that he's like barely used, but he's like and then he'll like do it, and then eventually they'll be like just stop and
unbend. Like just
just bend it the other way, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, base outside, like I don't know, Tuck wouldn't be Tobin wouldn't be thinking about that. He'd be just more remembering how the guy broke his arm. It's just constantly replaying over and over in his head. The guy just... Every time he's by himself, he'll think about it. Even when everyone's discussing the plan, he's just thinking about that. But they're coming to us, right? The lion folk are coming to us.
They are coming to you.
Okay. So for this deal, I think we're safe. We don't have to think about a base, but yeah. I think we need a base afterwards, maybe outside, right, to make the dealings a little easier, but also to plan revenge. The problem is, if we're outside the city, we're easier targets than when we're inside also. You know, but we've seen, I guess the power move was blowing up our ship into the docks, proving to us that they can get at us regardless of where we are. It's very... I've been watching a lot of Sopranos. I think I mentioned this already, but it's a very mafia thing to happen. Like,
all the gifts are I work in sanitation.
I should have mentioned beforehand. Waste management consulting. That's what it was.
Yeah. It's either that or construction.
We're a construction consulting company. So, I mean, one, do we have enough funding to do that? And two, our priority, is it really finding a base or is it you know, revenge.
We need a base of operations to plan our revenge.
Yeah. I think we're going to need both.
I mean, even if we find, like, a little apartment in the city, like, where we can kind of just, like, hide out, blend in.
It would have to be, like, the shitty part where no one cares who we are.
Huck shudders at the words little apartment. He's like,
hey, whatever happened to those criminals that I met? Are they still around?
Be more specific.
The boys that wanted me to help them rob.
Oh, the boys!
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out and about.
Can't go find them, though. Oh, man, we don't have a... I guess Tuck is our spellcaster, right? Like,
awesome, you don't have, man.
You don't have familiars. None of us have familiars, huh?
We have an Adelbert.
Oh, we do. Is he labeled as one of the ones responsible as well?
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you guys about that whole thing. So, obviously, the two surviving crew members...
Oh, God, are we going to have to lean on Jerry?
So, Jeannie and Adelbert, obviously, were injured. They had to do some mending. They did live, but they were also taken into custody shortly after and questioned thoroughly. Now, obviously, they gave a different account of events, but most of the town guard does not believe them. Because most of the town guard didn't like you. And the gifts are, I've been here longer, and it's like, so you're telling me they snuck onto your ship, tied you up, and steered it into... Why? Why you? Why you're in... Like, why would they go out of their way and potentially get caught and all that stuff? So, like, to them, it doesn't add up. But they don't have all the information leading up to that. Your whole little encounter in the desert there. So... they did let them go eventually, but they're not looked upon fondly. So, recently they've been doing little odd jobs, like they're still in the crew, but there's no boat. So, what do you crew, you know?
We crew mercenaries now, obviously. Hello, we're fucking rebel rousers. We are destabilizers. Yeah. Political instruments. Well, if they're... This is just a suggestion, obviously, for our captain, but if they're able to move around the city freely, I would suggest we get our most reliable current member on the roster, Adelbert, you know, one of three members, to go talk to those two... What did I call them again? The bad boys? I don't remember what...
Oh, the boys? Ray and the boys.
Ray and the boys. Yeah, to go find Ray and the boys, because, I mean, they were... Not friends of the Gith either. Maybe we can use them.
Yeah, it's not shocking. Anybody who spent a lot of time with the Gith, at least this the specific troop. Yeah, Berkthal hasn't made a lot of friends. He's kind of cutthroat that way. I know.
Shocking.
I know.
Shocking.
There are obviously some Gith that can still speak to people and not be condescending jerk-offs or threaten them and stuff, but he ain't it.
Yeah, I would say Tobin suggests this to Delphine, that, you know, if we can use the crew, if they still consider themselves a part of the crew, aka the team, we get them to go talk to Ray and the boys somewhere out there, because I know if they didn't get caught, Ray and the boys would be itching for another throwdown or some sort of fast one to pull on the Gith, which means potential allies.
I definitely think we should send Adelbert on that one. Jeannie might be a little too talkative to, like, find them. Like, a little too point. Loud if they're trying to lay low.
She could find out where the Gith actually are, because we don't know where they are. We don't know if they have some place that
nobody
they
nobody likes in. Her right now.
Well, maybe she learns one of the soft skills called listening. You know?
No, I just mean, like, reputation-wise, like, because of the whole ship thing.
That's true. But, I mean, it's time for her to adapt to a new field of study.
As
just
much as it pains me to say this, we should probably send Jerry to go find some places to live. I'm just, he's the only one that's not really associated, so, like, we won't get, like, price gouged.
Yeah,
because people don't like us.
He's considered like a Milton, right? Like, he can go anywhere and nobody really gives a fuck about him either.
Then he got price gouged on the ship repair, quote unquote. Oh, well, might as well just say, don't sign anything.
Yeah, don't make any decisions.
Just get a list of info and bring it back. Fine.
Jason's so happy right now.
That's my heart so good. This one's for you, Discord.
But I will threaten him before he leaves, and I say, I swear to God, Jerry. If it is like some rat infested roach hole in the wall, you're done. Like, there's a standard, right? This is the level it needs to be at. This is the base.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is the price range.
How many square feet are you looking for?
Oh, God. Just, like, a couple bedrooms, all right?
Like a bath, bath and a half, something like that?
Yeah. You see, Tuck? You see the size of Tuck? Just think about that when you're looking at places.
You want me to think about Tuck?
Like height-wise, width-wise, tail length. Do you have a tail? Yeah, okay. Sorry. Sorry, I was like, yeah. Wait, what is your race for a
It's not like we ever talked about us, both of us having horns.
Sorry. Party of this campaign. I just panicked, okay?
Do we have to house the crew, or are they like...
Yeah, I think we should.
Fine.
We almost got them killed, you know? Like, I think...
You might want to look for like a warehouse. And then
yeah, but they can have like a roach place, I don't care.
No, fair.
Whoa.
I don't say that in front of Jerry, though.
Well, Jerry would take it. It's like, yeah, those guys, it doesn't matter. But, you know, where we stay, it's going to be like, you know, like he would be very like, he's part of the crew now. He's like, yeah, oh, man, ride or die. Like, he's just like, he's.
And they're murdering Jason.
Jerry pulls out a fucking Sons of Anarchy jacket.
Iron my cut.
Yeah.
I guess it says Sons of Grey on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
But now my question is, does the T Public store do leather jackets? Because
let me look into things.
They have to be we should do vests. It's probably cheaper than a jewelry.
Oh yeah, you can get a
jacket.
Yeah. We need to design a new logo. That's what we need to design. Just let's work on that. Anyway. So he'll be on his way. I'm gonna fast forward. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Are we sending Adelbert anywhere?
Like, yeah, is he going
to find Ray. Find the boys.
I'm actually going to use a spell. Crazy. The Long Strider spell. Because actually, Tuck's all about speed. So he might as well be like, well, if I can't go anywhere really fast, here, maybe you'll get this done faster. Like, get out of here quicker.
It'd be a very C-3PO reactions, like, oh my, oh my, like, just, like go to take a step, that's like, boom, like, you're... It is the 22nd of Renway, and I imagine you guys are up bright and early getting ready for your visitors. You have all their weapons, you have, like, you've fulfilled your end, right? There is a big favor to ask, but, you know, like, your last meeting was a little... tense, let's say. So when they arrive, and you know, they're going to arrive somewhat in force, like there's a bunch of them. There's no less than 12 outside. Now, 12 aren't going to come in, because that sends a wrong message, right? But they did hear about some trouble in town recently, and they figured, hey, we might want to, you know what I mean? We might want to just kind of bolster our troops here a little bit. So Brigand is not going to be the one that knocks on the door. It's going to be Killa, which is the more level-headed of the duo. So it would be kind of like a fairly light knock, but deliberate. Do you want to answer the door?
Yeah, I was going to say, so I was writing
it down. I was like, who do we want to do? Tobin, like, should we have Genie do it?
Not Tobin's door. Tobin's doorman. Tobin is the doorman. He's going to open.
Genie away from here.
Yeah. Genie, stay away from the lion people, please, Genie. Like, don't even. Just stay in the back.
Maybe you should go get some lunch. The roof.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
The lion folk are people of fewer words than Genie.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a joke, guys.
Tobin will open the door and, like, as, like, dramatic, but, like, at the same time showing respectfully as he can, gives her, like, a bow, kind of, you know? And just kind of motions for her to enter. And then he sees the 12 lion folk, and his eyes, for half a second, they're like, oh, shit. But he, you know, collects himself.
Firstly, Kella will return that, you know, just... She's trying to keep it light, trying to keep it friendly, right? Like, she sees it as, okay, you wouldn't invite us if you didn't do the work. And, you know, we gave you X amount of time. You have to have done the thing. Why else would you want to talk to us? That type of thing. Just know that Brian was probably shit-talking you. It's like probably going to be subpar weapons. This shit's going to be fucking garbage if they even fucking fulfilled the order. They're thieves. You can't trust them. Like, he has formed an opinion of you. So hopefully he'll be pleasantly surprised. But Brigham is going to be right behind her. And he'll look at Tobin and just grunt. Not bow, just kind of head nod. Like, he acknowledges you. Then he's going to shut the door. It's just those two coming in.
So there are 12 lion folk just standing outside this building.
10 lion folk standing outside.
Oh, this is literally Sons of Anarchy. Like, all right, Tobin guides them to. I assume we like cleared a room, an office, or something where we're gonna. This is gonna take place,
right?
So he'll lead them down the hallways, and or it's not really a lot of hallways, but just kind of like. I hope your ride in was stress free. Just walking down. As much as he can.
Brigand's looking around, by the way, while listening to you. I hope we can avoid small talk.
He kind of... Tobin will look back. Yes, yeah, sorry about that. Okay, you got it.
Kella's going to put an elbow into his ribs, just like, fucking... Come on, what did we talk about? Like, you get the distinct impression there was a talk before anyone approached the building, like that, yeah.
Cool, that's good to know. But Tobin will take heed, and he'll be just okay. And then lead them to the office, open the door to where the rest of the leadership would be, the rest of the crew, and wave them in.
They come in. They're not so. They're not as on guard as you think they might be. The last time you guys had a bit of a standoff, they were feeling you out, you were feeling them out, but, you know, you have a deal in place, so they pretty much figure, we're here to pick up merchandise and then maybe negotiate, like, further, you know, stuff. Kella would try to make up for for Brigand just a moment ago. You have a lovely facility here.
Oh, well, we're kind of in between spots. We're looking to aggressively expand. He's obviously just being like very sarcastic, but at the same time, like we gotta put up a front. And then he'll, you know, point to Delphine and the rest of the team. Yeah, Captain, we have our guests.
Tuck is going to be behind Delphine, like, trying to look like, you know, the muscle.
Oh, good. Okay, that might come. No.
Don't say it like that. Well, I think, like, Delphine's probably standing rather than sitting. That way, just, like, so that she doesn't appear, like, arrogant or whatever, like, that they're waiting on them or whatnot. And then, because we're kind of, like, want stuff out of them, I think she'll be, like, do, like, the same thing that Tobin did and do, like, a respectful bow to them when they come in as, like, a greeting. And kind of like, oh, here's what we have for you today. A selection for you to peruse.
Bricken would be right over there, like, testing the weight of everything. And, like, he's like, balancing. He's just kind of feeling it. Like, probably an unnecessarily long time. It's like, well, there's got to be a bunch of flaws. Let me try and find all of that type of thing. He's just... yeah. So, while this is happening, you're going to hear yelling coming from the other side of the warehouse. Hey! Fleabag! And Wealth is going to kind of round the corner here. There is an entire crate of ore! What did you do with it?
Tobin will... I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason.
He is yelling at Tuck. Tuck has been lifting up any heavy things that he can find. And thus, things are moving, because I imagine Tuck just puts them down where he puts them down, and then moves and does whatever he's doing, and then picks up whatever heavy thing is nearby there.
Yeah, I create routes in which I walk.
Oh my god.
And then I can do them. I don't remember where, but usually when I stop, there's something that works. But I've done this for a week, so there's a pretty good... But it keeps moving back, and then I have to pick up, so...
That's why he came to you, because he knows. But it's not a question of who did this. It's a question of where did you move it to, and why don't you listen?
Does he come into the room and say this, or is he still outside?
Oh, no, he's going to round the corner into the warehouse.
Tobin is going to quickly, like, kind of, like, excuse himself. I'm sorry, excuse me. Turn around. Wealth is a dwarf, right?
Yes.
Tobin's going to, like, put both hands on Wealth's shoulders. Oh, it's right here. I saw where it is. Come on. And I'm going to, like, slowly push him away from the meeting. And as we're out of earshot, be like, listen, you little fuck. Do you understand what we're doing here? You can't just go around calling this guy and can't use the word fleabag when the lion folk are here.
Give me an intimidation check.
Okay, that's the worst skill for me. My charisma is all bad. But yeah, no. Minus two. Let's go. Let's do it. Oh, it didn't work. Try again. Oh, it's a crit!
I love it.
There's a minus two.
There's gonna be a moment where, like, he's just taken aback. Like, motherfucker, are you yelling at me in my house? Like, just like, there's gonna be a moment. But he is going to match your tone and volume. When are you all leaving?
Tobin's going to realize his mistake. Okay, look, sorry about the little joke. The sooner we get this deal done, the sooner we're out of your hair and we're in our own place. But it doesn't help if you use derogatory terms like fleabag or other names that I'm not going to repeat. Because there are also 10 of these guys right outside your door. And at a snap of a finger, they can come here and light the place on fire and kill us like it's no big deal.
If you could at least get your friend to stop shaking off when he gets wet, I wouldn't have to towel down every blasted surface.
He's going to kind of relax his posture a little. Yeah, you and me both. That's probably not going to change, but I'll tell you what. I'll towel down the surfaces after he does that. Because typically it's a little bit of a work to get him to take a shower in the first place.
Just look, be cool for like, I don't know, till the meeting's over. And then we can talk about things that you want changed from our behavior. Or we'll leave. I mean, either way, we're going to be out of your hair. So, and he's going to kind of recollect himself and kind of adjust. Wolf's, I envision him being in like this soot covered like tunic.
Yeah, like he's got the apron rocking and stuff like that. You could tell he was right in the middle of something and he goes to reach for it's like, fucker. Like, it's just, he's very much like me. And it's like, that is not the place that's supposed to be in. Yeah. And that bothers me deeply.
So Toba's going to like adjust his shirt and fix his like apron, the apron rope that's around the neck, just kind of adjusting it. Look, I'll deal with the missing stuff or the misplaced stuff that's probably in the wrong spot. But for now, we got this meeting going on back there, and the success of this really, really kind of, you know, it's the success of this hinges on, you know, how they take the weapons and kind of how they see our reputation now after the massive ass whooping we got previously. And the better that happens and the faster that happens, the sooner we're out of here.
He's going to kind of like take a deep breath and like he's nodding along with you. Look, I can understand the spot you're in. I get it. And I want to help out, but it's been a week. And he's so big and stupid. And it's Look, it's not my fault. It's who he is. It's how he was born. It's just, he was born to be an idiot. It's fine. But just, I know that my partner and your boss are boning down, and that's great.
Yeah, that's hard. They're doing it hard. They're boning hard.
I've heard them. I know.
Me too.
But there's only so much space here. And I would appreciate it if you just did everything in your power to speed this process up.
Tobin looks at him. No bullshit, no ulterior motive, just says, hey, that's what we're trying to do. 100%. Also, watch it with the stupid talk, because if he hears you, he'll squish your head like a grape. I've seen him do it before. And obviously I'm lying, but I'm just trying to, like, you know.
Right, hey, right.
Come on.
I think it'd be just like a casual afterthought. It's like, well, if you don't want your friend to be 3 feet shorter, you'd advise him not to come at me, but whatever.
Toby kind of like has that sly smile. That's good, 3 feet shorter. Yeah, okay. And he puts his hand out. I'll do what I can.
He'll shake it. One more thing. If you guys could be out by time Roland gets back with Kitty, I'd be very appreciative, because I don't know how he talked your boss into that, but that's gonna be friction. I just don't need it at the shop.
He raises his eyebrow. What do you mean, friction? Is Kitty, I thought they were just business partners.
I mean, they were married, but, you know...
Tobin makes the same face I'm making right now, where he, like, he bites his lower lip. Yeah, okay. It's kind of a funny thing, because he told us about Kitty, and then wants us to meet them because they might help us?
Oh, they work together from time to time, but it's been years. They're not married anymore, but, you know, there's a history there. I don't want the drama. I just want to take a hammer and beat the shit out of something for a while. I could use it. It'd be therapy.
Yeah, that sounds actually way better than what we've been through. So I would like that as well, but I am not a blacksmith. I usually just beat the shit out of things with these. Puts up his hands. Okay. I'll try and get us out of here, at least in a position where we're leaving sooner rather than later. But again, this deal really, really kind of positions us for either moving out faster or moving out slower.
Alright, we'll go get him.
Thanks. I'll look for that ore. I'll find it.
While this is going on,
I'd like to cut back to the other room. After, I think after a long silence where, like, you're watching Brian kind of, like, test everything, and then he'd put the weapons back, and he'd walk over to Kella, not facing the party, but facing that way, and just kind of lean down. That acceptable? Like, just kind of, like, that's the... If there was something wrong with them, he would have pointed it out, which means they're great, they're fine. But the best you're going to get is, like, C. Like, just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kella is going to start getting these sacks together, which is, you know, it's your payment. We must say that we didn't expect you to be done so quickly.
Oh, well, wait, what made you think that?
Yeah. She's looking around, and you could tell she's searching for words that wouldn't insult you. There were some in... There were some in the troop that felt that you had an air of incompetence. I'm happy that you proved them wrong.
Well, I am happy we were able to fill this for you in the timeline that was agreed upon. So, no hard feelings or anything.
We would be open to further... We think that our people would be much more receptive of getting new weapons if we could work out some sort of deal. It's no secret that you're having some trouble in town. Would you describe this as something you could handle, or would you need assistance?
Delphine's gonna be, like, a little taken aback by that, because I don't think she was expecting them to volunteer. Like,
they haven't yet.
Well, I know, but, like, bring it up themselves in kind of a that sort of light, rather than, like, mockingly, you know? So, I think she'll say, well, I was wondering if we could come to some sort of agreement after we handled this transaction. As you said, you've heard some things, and we need help. We would just like to express our enthusiasm and support for your group over another.
I think we both find ourselves in unique positions. And Brigand has spoken to some elders, and we think that there is a way this could work out for all of us. It's no secret that you're viewed as outsiders here, and purchasing weapons from you is looked down upon by our people. However, this would not be the case if you were to become honorary Araka. This is not without trial, of course.
What would that all entail?
Brigand is going to step forward. And you could tell he's been hovering a little bit, but, like, his presence is definitely, like, he wants to hear this part. Like, and I imagine Kella's, like, she knows he stepped forward and is like, okay. We would need you to bring back a trophy item to us to show that you participated in the hunt.
Tuck is, like, gonna perk up to that.
I apologize. I don't know. I don't know much about that.
Do you know much about the beasts here of Talor?
Just that they're a lot bigger than what I'm used to.
Well, there are several large reptiles here. We would need you to kill a Verisaur. It's second largest animal that we have, and you have just enough people in your group to qualify for that. If you could bring back one of its hands, then you would become an honorary member. There would be no more friction, and we could welcome you into camps with open arms. We can make deals. It could be quite lucrative for you. And you would get the help you need.
Could I have some time to talk to my crew about it?
Of course. We will be...
Oh, they're going to make us talk right now?
They're not going to leave, but they would probably go to the other side of the room or something like that. And by that point, I imagine Tobin
back
would be
back. Before he turns the corner, he kind of shakes it okay, gotta get back into polite mode. then turns the corner, smiling, comes in and looks at the two groups on opposite ends of the room, or this section of the room, and sees Captain Delphine looking a little bit I would assume concerned because of what she was just told about the great hunt or the hunt.
Yeah.
So he'd walk over. What did I miss?
And she'll give you a quick download of kind of what's on the table.
And he hears the word Verisaur. What is it called? A Verisaur?
A Verisaur, yeah. Can I get a nature check from everybody? Because you got a name now. So, let's see how much maybe you picked up while you've been on Talor.
Nothing. It's a minus one intelligence.
Oh. Not my thing.
Nice.
Six. Okay. Delphine, 16.
Whoa, Lee, Tuck?
18. Tuck! Tuck with a 16. Okay. So everyone but Tobin knows what this is.
What the fuck? Verisaur? What is that? Like a plant? What?
So, a Verisaur. So, okay. This thing is essentially a dinosaur of sorts. The only difference is, don't think T-Rex so much as Deathclaw, kind of. It is a big, nasty bastard that, while not super fast, incredibly strong. Its jaw strength has been known to cut through steel. It'll just rip through shit. It is a big, nasty bastard. There's another wrinkle. Mandy's been working on
it. Oh, Mandy.
Oh, yeah.
Mandy knows what's up.
You had to pick the fucking Verisaur, Jason. God.
So, it can hold its breath almost indefinitely. And the spines on its back are super sensitive to seismic activity. So, it can come up from underneath of you. And perhaps get the jump on you. After that, it's just how quickly you can act, honestly.
I lost one character to something that burrows and comes up from the ground. So thanks, Jason. Thanks!
We don't have to do it, guys. This is just the honorary...
Don't have to do it!
It's a lot of points in the one direction that we're trying to go anyways. Mm-hmm. It's a massive gain.
I feel like Tuck probably heard about this maybe at the pit, where like maybe it was like he was watching Tobin maybe fighting Paolo or someone else, and maybe someone made the reference like, oh, he fights like a Ferrosaur. What are you talking about? And then like that's how he like learned about it. But at the time maybe thought it was like fantasy or whatever, because he's like, oh sure, yeah, you've got that. And at this point Tuck is actually like seeing this as a test of strength. Like this will prove that he's got it. Like, yeah, we could do this. If I can't do this, then what's the point? So he's just like, I think we do it. But you don't have to trust him.
And we at this point is, you know, she's so heated up. She's like, I want to do this. I want to get back at the Githzerai, and this is our ticket in. I'm ready. I'm going to do it. I'll participate in this hunt, even if you guys don't want to, because I need to do this. She just...
So to give you guys some download on this creature, it is huge. Classification-wise, it's huge. It's a big boy. It's got a big, nasty tail, huge jaws. It's capable of dishing out damage to at least two people at once. Like, it's nasty. The only thing bigger than it on land is the Kiadar, which is pretty much Theria's answer to the Tarrasque.
So a kaiju. The only thing bigger than it is a kaiju. Cool.
Basically,
cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah, on the land. Kraken's like, no, that's right.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, there's things, yeah, but, like, we're talking about swoleness? Yeah, like, it's a big boy. Oh, do you remember when Group 2 visited
and we found the dead
Talor
thing
briefly?
Is that what it was?
Yeah!
Oh, as a Ferrosaur. So my size of scale is like, it was way off. So it doesn't really matter. But I do remember Dagon being like, what the fuck is this thing? Dagon and Acheronis were both like, what was this thing? And none of us knew. We failed our nature checks. We're just like, whatever. It's dead. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was, it's like, look, it isn't alive. We have other things. Let's just go.
It's big.
Like, yeah.
Just need its hand. Don't even have to down it.
How hard could that be?
I've done this mission in Breath of the Wild on stream before, where you got to collect the arrows from the mountaintop, and there's like a centaur guy up there.
Yep.
I died a lot.
But now you're an expert, so.
Yeah, don't fight them. That's what I learned. Oof. I mean, Tobin would get all the information and look back at the blindfolk and smile and wave, and then go back to the group. I mean, either way, we're gonna die. Like, just exasperated. And, you know, not dying against this Ferrosaur means we got a lot of good things happen to us. It makes our reaching the goal of smashing Birkenstock's face in a lot easier. On the other side, you know, a lot of uncertainty. And we got to deal with the gift without help or limited help. So, I see painful death on both sides, with only one side having the potential for, great success. So I vote we run headfirst into this monster. Yeah, sounds great.
I mean, we could probably also hire a couple people, too.
Well, I mean, it sounded like there's a specific number of people on this thing. He's going to turn around. Excuse me, your highnesses? Because he doesn't know how to talk to royalty.
Oh, God.
For this hunt, there's a limit per team, I assume.
Brickin's going to walk over.
As he's walking over, Tobin's whispering, this is not the one I want to talk to.
He's going to get real close.
Oh.
Why do you need to know that?
Well, you know, this sounds like a very intense hunt full of glory and honor. And he's being 100% sarcastic now. He doesn't care. I was just wondering if many others could share in success, or if it was, you know, honor split amongst a specific number of people.
He's going to narrow his eyes and look at Tobin. And he's going to take his pointy clawed pointer finger and just rest it on his chest and, like, gradually push into him. It's for you and your group to prove that you're not the sniveling cowards that I think you are.
Tobin looks at that and immediately flashes back to becoming flexible as a kid, like those monks in those videos you see of the kids crying because they're like bending their legs over their shoulders over a bar in like the Shaolin temples. And he just gets like an instant flashback of that, and he looks back up. Oh, okay. Like just ignoring it, but it does hurt him. Like he's just trained as to mentally project himself somewhere else. So he'll respond. Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
If it would be extra motivation, we know where your friends are going to be in 4 days.
That does help, yes.
If you do this, we will join you in assassinating them.
Tobin kind of like shrugs while the nail's still being dug in. Oh, say less. Yeah, awesome. Okay.
So obviously he'll retract his finger. He's not trying to bore a hole straight through you. But like, again, eyes narrow, just kind of like, and just walking away. Like if he were to walk back to Kella and he's like, okay, I have 100 gold, says they come back in pieces, if at all. Like just like that's the narrative that he's probably
Tobin turns around, himself. Faces the group and goes, oh, fuck. Just rubbing his left pectoral. Just like, oh my God, no, it's a scar. Ugh.
Oh my goodness.
Like the opposite of Braylon. Oh no. Ugh.
As Delphine's turning back to the Araka, she's gonna like put her hand on his chest and just give him a little healing touch so he can just, you know, like if your kid comes up to you and he's like, I got up and your kiss is better, like it's all better, you know, like that, like. Yeah,
it's like 2 hit points, but still, it's like just. God.
He looks and he sees like it looks like a cigarette outline, and he's like, "Oh no,
dude!" It's like when you stub your toe; like nothing's amputated, but holy shit! Like it's just your day stops for a second. Like just...
he's more worried that his beautiful washboard chest has been ruined.
Oh my God.
How do you have a washboard chest? Oh my fucking, God! What like?
You know?
It's just, oh perfect man!
Pinnacle of like,
he's got pecs.
Yeah, tiefling, perfect. The he's perfection got... of tiefling anatomy. Yeah,
his pecs have abs.
You can make him dance.
His tail's got muscles on it too. His tail, all his tail muscles are just like Dragon Ball Z. Like there's muscles that shouldn't be there. Yeah.
Oh, you got Frieza tail. Well, okay, not that cool. Big, that's the it's
makes the perfect workout partner.
Come on, one more, all you.
So?
Yeah, so, I mean, if everybody wants to do it, Delphine's going to turn back to the other guys and say, we have an agreement. And hold out a hand to shake.
Kella would shake your hand. Brigham would... definitely shake your hand, but there's a little tiny squeezy going on, a little bit. Like he's just
I squeezy
like,
back. It's fine. I know how that goes.
Good. Okay. Here is a map. You have 2 days. I hope, for your sake, that you prove me wrong. And you have everything you need to go out, guys.
I think that's a good time to start. Oh my god, dude.
Oh, we're gonna die. But
turn into a monster hunt?
Be so cool. Before we go, how much money do we get?
Oh, yeah.
How much?
It's all about money we get.
It's not like that's the whole point of our campaign as well.
So, for all of this, let's see here. They agreed to 1.5 times market value. That, so this would probably be 12,500.
And we're back. We're back, boss.
Well, how much do we owe Roland Wealth?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's overhead and stuff. There's, you know, so they would probably charge, like, somewhere in the area of, you know, 2.5, 3,000, somewhere in there. Because, like, that's the bare bones they would need for, like, the material and ore and shit. Like, that's the bare bones.
Yeah, we can teach them how to do business.
Yeah.
And next time we'll be like,
come on, guys. We'll give you a legit thing, and then we want to keep going. We want to keep this going, guys.
Yeah, you're our supplier now.
Yeah. Stay in business so you can keep supplying.
I forgot to tell Catherine about her new boyfriend.
I swear to God, Jason. How dare you? Whoa.
I mean, the guy had a past. Like, how does he not have? Was he supposed to save himself for you? Like, he didn't know.
Going on this trip to go visit your ex-wife, you'd be like, "Hey, by the way, that's my ex-wife."
This is very Vikings of him to do this. I watched that show too.
Very Vikings of Anarchy. It's. I think to him, it's like. She's my ex-wife. Like, it's just ex. Like, it's fine. Like, also, like, the fucking docks blew up. You're all wanted criminals. Half your crew is dead. Like, it's like, we get into my fucking marriage later. Like,
what? All I'm saying is she comes up in this place. And she's all like, because she's still got a handle on him.
She is an interesting personality.
Yeah, sure she is.
On a scale of pain master...
She's not pain master interesting. She's let's call her self assured.
Okay. Well, her and her crew they're not allowed in the city. Right?
That's well just, not allowed.
I mean if they show up they'll be like, hey, you can't be here.
I mean, here's the thing. One, there's some new fugitives in town, and two, they're not going to stay. They're not getting hotel rooms and shit. They're kind of riding through, keeping a low profile, and then heading out to wherever the hell, you know, you guys need them to be, if they agree.
Can't. Oh, yeah.
That's Roland's type.
Outlaw. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Also, so
I have so many questions about Roland now, though. I thought he was just a charming businessman, and now. Now I have some serious questions.
We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. Please don't go anywhere. Thank you, everybody, for listening to today's show. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. We are coming to the end of Arc 4. I actually just recorded the ending of... Overseers, and we're going to try and get that in front of you guys as soon as we get it edited. It's kind of a big job, so it's going to take us a little bit. One more time, for everybody out there, thank you so much for taking a look at the Kickstarter, for helping us in getting close to that goal. We still have 1 week. If you haven't taken a look at it yet, there's a link at the bottom of the description, and we'd very much appreciate you sharing that with everybody you know. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week with another brand new episode. Have a good one, everybody, and until next time, good luck with your games.